As a commentary on today's gospel, we'll just look at two points of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, numbers 156, paragraphs 156 and 548. Our Lord in the gospel says, "If I do not perform my Father's works, do not believe me. But if I perform them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may realize and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Our Lord says this to the Pharisees because he knows that they did not want to accept his doctrine. And in fact, they did reject it. They utterly rejected it. The Messiah that our Lord came to be was not the Messiah they desired, a worldly, a powerful Messiah, a political Messiah, and they rejected his doctrine. Our Lord responds to them, "Well, if my doctrine doesn't convince you, you cannot deny my works." Our Lord's works, which spoke of his divinity, from curing the sick to raising the dead, from stilling tempests to walking on water, from reading hearts to forgiving sins, all of these things are things that only God can do. If you don't believe me, if you don't believe my doctrine, can't deny my works, and my works testify to the fact that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. The Catechism in paragraph 156 says about miracles, how important they are to strengthen our faith, to give it a rational base, and we'll see why a rational base. The Catechism says that what moves us to believe is not the fact that revealed truths appear as true and intelligible in the light of our natural reason. We believe because of the authority of God himself who reveals them, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. Okay, our natural reason is not capable of penetrating the divine truth and saying, okay, yes, this in a logical, syllogistical way is true, I am therefore convinced. The truth that our Lord reveals go beyond reason, never against it, beyond it. Our Lord's true presence in the Blessed Sacrament, something that we, with our reason alone, could never arrive at. It's something that we could never grasp about God. It's beyond our reason. It's beyond the reach of our reasons, but it's not against our reason. The fact of our Lord's presence taking place of the substance of bread while the accidents remain is not against reason, but far beyond it. Why do we believe? Because of the authority of God himself who reveals, our Lord who says, "This is my body, this is my blood," our Lord who can neither deceive nor be deceived. The Catechism goes on and explains, "So that the submission of our faith might nevertheless be in accordance with reason, God willed that external proofs of his revelation should be joined to the internal helps of the Holy Spirit." Internally, the Holy Spirit moves us to believe. Externally, we see proofs, incontrovertible evidence that it is God who reveals. Thus the miracles of Christ are the most certain signs of divine revelation adapted to the intelligence of all. They are motives of credibility which show that the assent of faith is by no means a blind impulse of the mind. If I were to tell you from this pulpit, listen, this is just for the sake of rhetoric, if I were to tell you, "Look, I am God," well, rightly, you would be outraged. You would be scandalized. But if I were to tell you that and then take you outside to the nearest graveyard and start raising people from the dead, make the rain stop all of a sudden and make the sun come out, if I were to do all these things, well, then you would start asking yourself, either I'm seeing things or this guy is saying something. Same thing with our Lord. The Holy Spirit, of course, the example of myself was simply by analogy. When our Lord says that I am God, even if somebody of ill will wants to reject that, he cannot reject the works that accompany his doctrine. And these either justify us or accuse us. If we reject that reality which we cannot reject, which we cannot deny, well then, we're in deep trouble. Number 548 of the Catechism goes on, and before we get to it, it's important to remark that our Lord's divinity is not visible. this past week, our Lord has been, we've been reading the Gospels in which our Lord testifies to his divinity. Well, that divinity, that hypostatic union, is not visible. It's a mystery of faith. We cannot see that our Lord, one divine person, has two natures, the human and the divine. All we see is the man, Jesus, the man. To arrive at the fact that he's a divine person, to arrive at the fact that he has also a divine nature, we need to be moved by the Holy Spirit and assured by his works. And those are all of his miracles. Number 548 of the Catechism goes on and says, the signs worked by Jesus attest that the Father has sent him. They invite belief in him. To those who turn to him in faith, he grants what they ask. So miracles strengthen faith in the one who does his Father's works. They bear witness that he is the Son of God. But his miracles can also be occasions for offense. They are not intended to satisfy people's curiosity or desire for magic. Despite his evident miracles, some people still reject Jesus, as did the Pharisees. When our Lord said these words, when our Lord rebuked them and said, if you don't believe me, believe my works, they tried again to arrest him, but he escaped from their power. Our Lord doesn't deprive us of our free will. He leaves it in our own possession. He leaves us in the power of our own counsel. Even if we see miracles, we are free to either accept them or reject them. And this is a problem today, in today's day and age, that rejection of reality. We see it in modern philosophy and modern theology as well. The rejection simply of reality. If you want to see how those who undermine our Lord's teachings begin, without exception, I would say, all of them begin by questioning the historicity of the Gospels, by putting their historical nature into question. Well, maybe these miracles didn't really happen. Maybe it was the first community who invented them to illustrate our Lord's goodness, etc., etc. All of them, without exception, those who want to undermine our Lord's doctrine have to begin by putting into question his miracles. Why? Because if his miracles are true, well, then it's undeniably true that he is in the Father is in him, and he is God, and he has authority, and we are obligated to submit ourselves to that authority. That's why in today's day and age, as Catholics, when attacks are coming left and right, from inside, from outside the church, we need to know the gospel. It's precisely in the gospels that we find the life of our Lord, all of his signs, all of his doctrine. We need to know this gospel. The Friday before Good Friday today is also the time, a day when we commemorate in a special way the sorrows of Our Lady, the sorrows of Our Lady co-redemption, and we can be sure that the rejection of our Lord is the cause of Our Lady's greatest sorrow. The rejection of our Lord is Our Lady's greatest sorrow. And today we need to ask her to be strengthened in that faith, that we do not reject our Lord, that in no degree, no measure, not even the slightest, we fall into that trap of today's way of thinking, of undermining our Lord's doctrine, authority, historicity, whatever it might be. And to do this, well, it'll take Our Lady's intervention, Our Lady's prayers, but our own effort as well. As Catholics today, we need to study the gospel. We need to study to see what's in it. We need to know what's in the gospel, because it'll be attacked. We need to study the gospel and to be able to defend its historical value. What do we mean by its historical value? The fact that the things narrated in the gospel actually took place. If they didn't, well, then we believe in fairy tales. I don't think it's reasonable to believe in fairy tales. I wouldn't believe in fairy tales, and I don't. I believe in the gospel because it's historical, and we need to know and be able to convince others of the historical value of the gospel. And being convinced of its historical value there, we need to meditate on it. Meditate on our Lord's works in the gospel. The gospel today says that when our Lord escaped from the power of the Pharisees who wanted to kill him, they were so corrupt in their minds and hearts that not doctrine, not works, not the Holy Spirit, nothing could convince them. They had their minds set on destroying our Lord because he was a reproach to them. After he escaped from their power, he went back across the Jordan. Many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but everything John said about this man was true. And many there began to believe in him. By reflecting, by pondering, by meditating on our Lord, on his life, on his works, many began to believe in him. Let's ask Our Lady for that same grace to be able to apply ourselves with study to the Gospels, to the source of revelation. The Gospel is handed down by the Church, is transmitted by the Church, the Gospel united with tradition, that we might know it, meditate upon it, and so arrive at a solid, unshakable faith in Jesus. And so, instead of being a cause of Our Lady's sorrow, be a cause of her joy, and a joy to her Son as well. Praised be Jesus and Mary.